Hello, friends. Hello, colleagues. Hello, listeners. This is the Platinum Business Break Podcast, and we're so glad you're here. And if you're watching on YouTube, this is our vidcast. So today's episode is called The Way Business Should Be. This is part 13, Fulfilling and Energizing Work. Hey, I love my job. Okay, so some of you are like, okay, this is kind of crazy. Hang with me and it'll make sense in a minute. Again, this is season 4, episode 6, by the way. Last summer came to, an epiphany, or you know, I just kind of wanted to write my manifesto, and you can watch that podcast, but bottom line is I wanted to record, what do I believe? You know, I'm talking about business, and you know, how should business be? Because business, we spend a lot of time working, and I'm going to share some statistics in a few minutes, and I think you might be surprised. So the question I'm asking is, you know, if you love your job, should you love your job? And if you don't, what do you do? All right, that's what we're going to explore in this episode. So here we go. Ready? All right, again, let me ask the question, do you love your job? And, you know, I think most of us, we would like to. We'd like to love our job. But, you know, the old saying, if you find something you love to do, you will never work a day in your life. Well, that sounds great, but unfortunately, that's not reality for the vast majority of us. So we spend a lot of time at work. And here's some statistics to kind of make you really think. So we spend 33% of our lives working or at a job. That's one third. Then we spend one third of our lives sleeping. So really only one third of our life to enjoy life, spend time with family, friends, you know, whatever it is. That's your time. That's your personal time. That's only one third. Now think about that for a second. 67% of your time is either working or sleeping. That's kind of depressing in a way. Now, I'm really, you know, going to bring you down here if you continue listening. No, this is important. Because you need to think about this, especially if you're old, especially if you're the 45 plus crowd. So the average retirement age in the U.S. is age 65. Some a little sooner, some a little bit later, but the average age is 65. Now look at this: the average life expectancy. And this is a statistic I saw in January 2024, 77.5 years. You know, let's just call it 77 years is the average life expectancy. 74 for men and 80 for women. Wow! So if you're 60, you got 14 years. It's kind of like, you know, Logan's Run, if y'all remember that movie with the little crystal, and every time you hit a new age area, it blinks a different color. You know, that creeped me out, by the way. So 77.5 years average life expectancy, really. But what that means is when you retire, you have 12 years left. 12 years. Now, most of us think about how fast the last 12 years of your life went. Boom, it went that fast. So it's important to prioritize your life and to make sure if you're going to commit to a career or a job, especially if you're working for somebody else, you better be having fun. It better be energizing. It better be fulfilling. And I know there's a lot of people, I'm going to get pushback on that. People are going to say, oh, that's pie in the sky. That's not realistic. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, I understand that. I get that. But look at this. The average life expectancy. 77.5. You retire at 65. That's 12. So you're going to work 40 or 50 years to enjoy 12 years. That's what this is saying. I'm rejecting. I'm enjoying life now. Okay. That is my priority. And I'm going to kind of walk through some statistics here in a minute to show you why that this is important. And people are, I think, thinking about that. I think since COVID, you know, a lot of people, you know, we're kind of past COVID now, but the impact that it had, you know, on our education system, our social networking, our social groups, our the way we order, you know, food or merchandise, the proliferation of, you know, social media and online shopping and all that, it just changed our, I mean, that was a major, major life-changing event. And I think it's got a lot of people, including yours truly, myself, thinking about that. So let's look at the state of the global workplace. Now, those of you who are regular listeners, you know I wear this one out, but I love statistics. It's just interesting. So, you know, Gallup started measuring global employee engagement in 2009. So what this is going to show us that the most recent survey, 23% of employees are engaged. And I'm going to define that in a minute. 77% are disengaged, which includes the actively disengaged. So 23% engaged, 77% disengaged, and then again, 18% of that 77 is actively disengaged. So what does that mean? All right, engaged. Those employees find their work meaningful and feel connected to the team and the organization. They feel proud of going to work and the work that they do, and they take ownership of the performance, going the extra mile for teammates and customers. Now, again, we would ideally all like to be engaged at work, right? Am I wrong on that? I think you want to enjoy your job. That's not too much of an ask. Let's talk about disengaged. Those employees who are filling a seat and watching the clock. They put in the minimum effort required, and they are psychologically disconnected from the employer. Although they are minimally productive, they are more likely to be stressed and burnt out than engaged workers because they feel lost and disconnected from the workplace. Now, again, that's 67%. All right, 67% are disengaged. Now think about that number. So 77% overall are disengaged. That means 7 out of 10 employees are just doing the bare minimum. They're just doing enough to keep their job. That's miserable. And if you're a business owner or leadership team or C-suite, that's dangerous for your business. I don't even think you realize it. Because most of the businesses that I see, 99.9% of them have a lot of problems. They're in trouble. And they don't know it. And they don't want to admit the problems. Again, that's another podcast that I recorded several months ago. You could go back and watch that one. But most businesses are in trouble. And, it's because of these statistics right here. All right, let's look at the next one. Actively disengaged. Again, that's 18%. These employees take actions that directly harm the organization, undercutting its goals and opposing its leaders. At some point along the way, the trust between the employee and the employer was severely broken, or the employee has been woefully mismatched to a role, causing constant crisis. And again, that's 18 out of 100. That's two. If you have 10 employees, two of them are actively disengaged. What does that look like? Now, it may not be intentional. It could be someone, not answering the phone, not calling customers back. Maybe they're not doing the quality check or making sure the truck is loaded right, or they see something wrong and they don't say anything. Like, we made that truckload of stuff wrong, but who cares? And it goes out the door and the customer rejects it. It costs a lot of money. But whether it's intentional or not, the results are the same. So 2 out of 10 are disengaged or actively disengaged. That should keep you awake at night if you're a business owner, if you are a C-suite, or if you're a leadership group. All right. Let's talk about stress. Stress. 44% of employees said they experienced a lot of stress the previous day, repeating the record high in 2021 and continuing a trend of elevated stress that began almost a decade earlier. Employees are stressed. I mean, why is that? And I'm going to address that in a minute. It's clear cut. It's easy. And by the way, I forgot to mention, this episode is sponsored by Platinum Business Consulting. We can help turn your small to medium-sized business into a world-class organization. It's easy, okay? There is a roadmap. There is a way. There's an operating system, and we could show you how to do that, all right? But can't help you if we don't hear from you. Anyway, enough of the commercial. Let's look at the next statistic. 51% of currently employed workers said they are watching for or actively seeking a new job. Now, again, this is according to the Gallup survey. So half your employees are probably looking for a job right now. Look at your staff. Half of them looking for a job. Some of you are going to go, no, they love it here, but you are fooling yourself. You have to look in the mirror. And I guarantee you, if you talk to customers and you talk to employees, and if you could do it in a safe environment, you will find out that number is accurate, and it could be more depending on your company. Here's an article I found. It's Business Insider article, The End of Workplace Loyalty by Eki Ito, and it's Dateline January 22nd of this year, 2024. And it broke down a lot of different statistics and this, that, and the other, but the quote I pulled from this is, what we have now is a vicious cycle of broken promises. The result is a workplace that none of us wants, where no one feels they owe anyone anything. Does that sound like your workplace? I bet it does. Sounds like most workplaces that I'm work with or worked in, or people, when I talk to colleagues. And here's the thing. I hear it all the time. Oh, I was promised this. I was promised a raise. Or when we did this, I would get that. Look, I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't have it in writing, it ain't going to happen. I have so many people tell me they were off. They were supposed to get, you know, when the company sold, they were supposed to get a big paycheck. They didn't get it and they were mad. Well, guess what? If it ain't in writing, it ain't going to happen. So make sure when you start a job or your negotiations, you get everything in writing. And it's because of this, because people, you know, when in the heat of the moment or when everyone's excited about bringing someone to a new team or into a new job or a new company, you know, we hear what we, you know, want to hear. And sometimes employers, they'll, you know, say things that they really don't mean or they can't commit to because they want to get you on board. So this is where we're at. This is reality, folks. I wish it was better, but it's not. You've got to get things in writing, especially if it's regarding benefits, compensation, time off, whatever, or even promotions. Get it in writing, right? Next. So the question is, should you be loyal? That's a tough one. Some of the research I found is this. Now, again, let's look at the different generations. We have a lot of different generations in the workplace right now. For example, we have baby boomers. That would be me. I'm on the tail end of that. Born 1946 to 1964. Now, that group tends to be loyal, blindly loyal to the company for whatever reason. And, you know, hey, guilty as charged. I've been there. But one thing that, you know, I've realized is loyalty is a two-way street. And, you know, you've seen the memes or the pictures on LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram. It's like, hey, if you died today, they would have your job posted by before they buried you. You know, that's true. That is absolutely true. But part of it is, hey, businesses have to keep operating whether you're there or not. So baby boomers tend to be more loyal to the company. Your Gen X, which is 1965 to 1980, and your millennials, which are 81 through 96, they tend to be more loyal to people, not companies. It's like Gen X is more to their teams. The millennials, you know, maybe their manager or boss or someone they look up, you know, mentor at work, they tend to be more loyal that, not necessarily to the company, but more to people. Now your Gen Z, that's your 1997 to 2012. They, you know, they can be either loyal or not loyal. But one thing that this generation understands is change is constant. They look for opportunities. And in fact, you know, one of my kids, my daughter, she has a lot of friends who are in that age group, and they're starting companies. They're leaving one company and starting another company. They're collaborating. They're making a lot of money because, you know, they kind of look at it as, look, if there's an opportunity, I'll hang around. But if there's not, I'm out. I'm going to look for the next thing. And it doesn't bother them. You know, like the baby boomers, it's like, oh, you have to have a stable resume. It's like, oh, you can't have gaps. You know, hey, I've thought like that for a long time. But, you know, at the end of the day, remember the statistic, 12 years after retirement, are you going to stay loyal just for that 12 years? Got to enjoy life now, folks. You got to do what makes you happy or try to make you happy. All right, then I'm going to mention this. The first time I've actually mentioned this in a podcast, and this is called Gen Alpha. Yeah, this is a new one. This is anyone who was born 2013, basically in the new millennium, you know, or the new century. In this generation, they're characterized by remote work. They're characterized by remote classrooms, all the technology we're talking about. I mean, they don't know 8-tracks. They don't know the pain of no internet. So that's the next thing. Again, I don't know what that's going to look like. I mean, those people are, you know, maybe 10 years old right now, but that's the future workforce. So that's called Gen Alpha. So a little bonus info there for you. All right. So let's talk about, you know, what's important. How can we turn that around? And I'm really talking to companies here. If you're a business owner, if you are a C-suite leadership team, management group, it is your responsibility to build a company where people want to stay. Because, you know, people make it happen. It's the people. And this picture, if you're watching on YouTube, it's a picture of it's a girl, and she's playing the Dizzy Bat game. And some of you, you know, especially if you're older, you've played this. So you have a baseball bat, you put it on the ground, you lean over, you put your forehead on the end of the bat, and then you run around the bat. You spin around, you know, the bat stays stationary, and you're going to, like a merry-go-round, you're going around the bat. And then when someone says go, you are supposed to drop the bat and run in a straight line. Well, guess what? You can't do it because you're all discombobulated. You're going to run in a curve. You're not going to go. So you think you're going straight, but you're not. You're going in a curve. So that's what your employees feel like, my friends. If you own a business, if you're a management group, C-suite leadership team, your employees playing the Dizzy Bat game every day. And actually, you're playing it. And you're telling them to jump on the bat, do their work, with all the poor processes, with all the chaos and dysfunction in your company. They're spinning around, and that's no wonder they're unhappy and they can't get anything done. So there's really four or five things rather that are core. And again, if you listen to my podcast, I wear these out, but this is the basics. This is the core of running a great company and having a world-class organization. Number one is vision. Two is leadership, core values, culture, and those are kind of core values and culture is kind of intertwined. And then process and training, having processes and then the training support those processes. All right, let's talk about vision. 63% of employees don't have a clear understanding of what their company is trying to do and why. And that's according to LinkedIn, a study on LinkedIn. 63%, they don't have. I've been in organizations or worked with organizations where you ask even the executives, what's our vision? They have no idea. The vision is something that compels you. It's the big picture. It's the why. It's why we're here. It's our motivating big statement. It's our quest. Okay, vision gets everyone through the hard times, and everyone in the organization, everyone, from the guy at the very top to the person at the bottom, they've got to be able. You go up to them, what's our vision of our company, and they should be able to articulate it because that should guide what they do. Here's another statistic I found. Workers feel disconnected from employers when they don't see the company's mission in action. That's according to Agility PR. That's right. And those companies who do put core values or mission statements or vision statements, and they don't honor them or follow them, that's a disconnect. And here's the last one. Future vision continues to appear as the key driver of employee engagement. That's according to workforcescience.com, an article I saw on there. So, again, what is the vision? The vision creates the long-term picture. It's kind of your noble purpose. I think like Nike, for example, this is to improve the human condition. I've done a podcast on vision and vision statements. You could go back and listen to that. But it's very important. So the reason employees are disengaged and they're not happy is they don't understand the vision of the company. Leaders, that's your fault. You have to communicate it. You have to live it. You have to breathe it. And here's the other thing. If you're a CEO, your job is not to be in meetings all day. Your job is not to be, in the weeds on reports or hiding in your office. Your job is to either create or share that vision. Make sure the vision is fresh. Make sure the vision is being communicated throughout the organization and to your customers and to the marketplace. It's to look for new opportunities, and it's to take obstacles out of the way for everyone underneath you. That's your job, nothing more, all right? It's my opinion. You probably will disagree, but CEO's business. And again, if you're a small business owner, you're the CEO, you're the shipping, I get that. But the larger you go, at some point, if you are the owner of the business, if you're the CEO, you are the keeper of the vision, all right? Let's talk about leadership. More than 80% of organizations are faced with a leadership talent shortage. Fewer than 20% of organizations have a bench capable of leaders ready to fill critical roles. And that's according to getnux.org. My friend and mentor, John Maxwell, says, organizations rise and fall on leadership. It's very important. Here's some more info. Less than 5% of companies have implemented leadership training across all employment levels. Trust in leaders has been linked to higher job satisfaction and higher commitment to an organization. That's according to thomasgriffin.com, that website. Here's one more. A staggering 71% do not trust their leader's capability to take the organization to the next level. It's according to teamstage.io. And I think that's a very common. A lot of employees, team members I talk to, they have no faith. Their leadership are totally clueless. In fact, a lot of people say, we don't even know who's really in charge. We don't know what they're doing. So leadership development, leadership training is very, very key. And again, Platinum Business Consulting through our sister company, Platinum Training Technologies, we could help with that. We could do some executive training and coaching on leadership. We could do some workshops. We could help you with that. Again, so contact us if you're interested. All right, core values. According to recent statistics, 46% of job candidates would consider core values before applying to any organization. That's according to LinkedIn. LinkedIn data reveals a 154% increase in entry-level job ads featuring culture and values over the past 2 years. Job ads emphasizing work-life balance have increased by 65% during that time. Job postings that mention values such as culture, flexibility, well-being now receive nearly three times more views and twice as many applications than they did a few years ago. It's core values. What do you believe? And again, this is, you know, the part of this podcast is, how business should be. You know, that is my core value, my core beliefs on how business should be. And those should be unwavering. You should be hiring and firing to core values and selecting customers. If you've got customers who don't share your core values, gotta get rid of them. A lot of you won't do it because, oh, they're a third of our business. Ooh, that's a problem. Okay. You've got to address that. So core values are very important. Now, culture, which again is related to core values, 88% of employees believe a distinct corporate culture is essential to a business's success. 58% of employees have quit a job or would consider quitting if they felt the culture was perpetuated by bad behavior. Again, you see this a lot, and I've seen this a lot. It's like, do as I say, not as I do, or they'll throw core values and stuff in your face, and then they'll turn around and violate those core values or those culture norms. 95% of employees believe culture is more important than compensation. Absolutely. Again, if you have a great culture, you're probably happy at work. All right. And you're probably one of the 30% that are engaged. A positive culture results in 30% better customer satisfaction levels. And again, this is according to a survey done by Zipdo.com. Wow. So 30% better. So not only is having a health, good core values and culture important to your employees and your business, your customers know it. And I'm going to tell you, customers know if you're a mess. If you have no leadership, no clear core values, it's a chaotic or toxic culture. Your customers know it. Don't think that they don't. They do. They're still buying from you for some reason. But they know. And they might buy more. Fix things. Again, it's very important. Culture, core values, leadership. Right. Last one. Process and training. And I'm combining these because everybody needs processes in their business. Then you need training to support those processes, especially new people, or if you have a new process or a new product or you have an acquisition. Training is very important. So 43% of people called out a lack of growth opportunity as top reason they quit their job last year. Again, that's according to a LinkedIn poll. 70% of surveyed workers would be tempted to leave their current workplace for a company that invests in employee development. Wow, 70%. So 7 out of 10, they would leave if they felt like could get training and development somewhere else. Employee retention rate grows by 30 to 50% at companies with a potent training program. Training is important, folks. That shows it right there. Companies that invest in training have a 24% higher profit margin. That makes sense because think about your frontline people, especially your customer service, order management, your salespeople. If they are trained better, or maybe your production or if you're into hard goods, packaging and processing and shipping, if they're trained how to do that thing correctly, you have less errors. 68% of employees feel learning and development are the most important benefits. And this is all according to teamstage.io. Now, again, Platinum Training Technologies, sister company to Platinum Business Consulting, we can help with training. We have an online training portal or an LMS, learning management system, that we could help. We could not only do we have a library of over 3,000 business videos that would work in almost in any business. We could also upload your videos that you already have, if you have any, or your training modules at no additional charge. We'll host it on our platform so it's all in one place. And also, part of our online learning platform is our Platinum Business Academy. That's where individuals can go and, again, have access to 3,000 courses, hundreds of learning tracks, and over 50 certifications. Right? It's a real low cost, so check that out. I'll put the links in the information on the podcast or the vidcast, so check those out. All right. So again, I'm talking to you, leadership. I'm talking to you, business owners. What's important? How can you create a business or a company where people are happy? They want to be there. They're fighting for a job. Man, wouldn't that be greatest if you owned a business that you were the place that everyone wants to work? Everyone wants to be. they believe in your vision. They respect and they're in awe of your leadership. They share your core values, your culture, and they love and will adapt and they embrace the process and the training to make that business successful. Okay. So leadership, this is on you to make your environment a great place to work. Therefore, people will enjoy their jobs because they're spending a third of their life there. All right. Now I'm going to talk to the individual. If you are the overwhelmed employee, the overwhelmed manager, if you look at this picture if you're watching on YouTube, it's a guy, he's buried up to his shoulders in paperwork. He's got phone and calculator and all that. This guy's overwhelmed. He's playing the dizzy bat game, he is overwhelmed. I guarantee you he's stressed. I guarantee you he's looking for another job. Why is that? Well, again, what does the survey say? It says 67% are disengaged, and it's because there's no vision, there's no leadership, there's no core values, there's no culture, there's no process or training. So if you are in a role or in a job or a company, and this is, this describes your toxic environment, your stressful environment, you got to look for another job. Life's too short, just telling you. And these are the things you need to look for. So you need to ask, get on the company website if you're applying for a job. What is their vision statement? Who are their leadership? What's their core values? What's their culture? Do they offer a process? That you ask that. And then if they can't give you a solid, excited, enthusiastic answer on any of those, don't even just stop the interview. Don't just say, nope, sorry. Withdrawing my candidacy, right? Take control. You'll feel better. So the next thing I wanted to mention, this is really where I'm kind of going to, because regardless if you have a great job and enjoy it and love your job, that's great. But most of us don't. I would probably say the vast majority don't like their job. They don't like what they do. So I'm going to have a quick story from a guy, and this is a guy I followed for a long time. Now he's deceased. His name is Jim Rohn, and you've heard my discipline weighs ounces, regret weighs tons quote. That's from him. And here's a quote that he's sharing. He says, work harder on yourself than you do on your job. Now, a lot of people go, that doesn't make sense. No, it does. So I'm going to read a story. So this is him recounting when he met his mentor. His mentor is a guy named Schoaf. He's recounting the conversation he had when he was in his early 20s or, mid 20s. So Mr. Schoaf, again, who was his mentor, was the one, and this is Jim Rohn speaking, by the way. I got this off a YouTube video. I pulled the transcript. Mr. Schoaf, his mentor, was the one when I said, this is all they pay. And then Mr. Schoaf says, well, you've been working there 6 years, Mr. Rohn. How come you're not doing better? And Jim Rohn replied, well, this is all the company pays. And then his mentor replies, well, that's not true. And then Jim Rohn replied, well, I said, no, this is what I get. This is all they pay me. And the mentor said, this is all the company pays you. All right. He said, doesn't the company pay some people 2, 3, 4, 5 times what you get paid? And of course, he agreed. And he said, so that's not all the company pays. It's all they pay you. And if you're qualified, if you make a contribution, wouldn't your income go 2, 3, 4, 5 times more? And he agreed. So, and again, that's true with all of us. I mean, are we maximizing? Are we optimizing our income? Now, go back to my very first podcast. I think it's 4 years ago, but it's the very first one. It's on all the podcast stations. It's on YouTube. It's reasons why people quit their job. And this is one of them is people max out there. They're like, I will never make another penny here. Now, part of that, it's your fault. And that's kind of what this is saying. Part of it is, the company. But here's the thing. And this is where he got to with this exchange. And then His mentor, again, Mr. Schoaf, says, you don't have to work on the company. You have to work on you. And so Jim Rohn realized that, and again, he was like 25, maybe 26, 24. He realized that was the beginning of what he called personal development. It's more important to develop you because look at this. If you develop yourself, I mean, whether you get in better physical shape, you read books, you increase your vocabulary, you learn to speak in public better, you learn to communicate better. You learn skills that will add to your job. I mean, you do it on your own. Not only will you be more valuable to the company, you'll be more valuable to other companies as well. So that's why personal development it should be a priority. Again, With jobs come and go. And the, you know, adding to what I said is if you die today, they'll place the ad to replace you by the time they bury you. So, you know, we're working, you know, a third of our lives. And we're only really, you know, enjoying 12 years or so after we retire. Personal development is something you need to do. You need to start today. And it's just as simple as listening to podcasts like this, reading books, going to seminars, whatever floats your boat. Again, this is Jim Rohn. He's talking about personal development. He says, what you become is much more valuable than what you get. So the major question to ask on the job is not what I'm getting here at my job. The major question to ask on the job is, what am I becoming here? Okay, not what am I getting, what am I becoming? So it's very important that you become, because what you become attracts. If you become cynical, you attract cynicism. All right, so and that kind of blew me away. You know, so he said the whole subject of personal development was so vitally important to me. It changed my life. I was a millionaire by age 31. So like from 25 to 26, in over 5 or 6 years, he was a millionaire because he changed his mindset. Again, I'm not talking about prosperity theology or, you know, get rich quick. My point to this is when he started focusing on himself. Again, I'm not saying being self-centered and being rude. I'm just talking about developing yourself. It made a great change in his life. Because here's the thing, companies, if you're waiting for the company to develop you, and again, this is another Jim Rohn quote. He said, if you're waiting for someone else to create plans for you, you're going to be waiting a long time. And of course, the plans they create are not going to be good for you. They're going to be good for them and the company. You got to take control of your personal development. All right. So that is the big takeaway. So if you are not happy where you're working, where you're at, and it's toxic, you got to work on personal development. Part of what it said is, are you on your job? What are you becoming there? And again, are you becoming bitter? Are you becoming cynical? Are you becoming a gossip? Okay. Are you becoming someone who's going to dissent and cause chaos in the company? Or are you going to develop yourself, be positive, be different at work and go, oh, something's different about him or her now. They've had a change. And I've been through that. Believe me, I've been through where I changed my mindset, where I finally realized the company was not looking out for my best interest, and they're looking out for the company's bottom line. Again, that's okay. That's what companies do. But as soon as I started developing myself, taking interest in business topics, improving myself, I actually noticed at work, people started, you know, treating me different. Instead of, you know, dressing like a slob, you know, actually, you know, up my wardrobe. Okay, I got rid of the 80s haircut. Okay. I you know, I kind of had to upskill. You know, I had to kind of get caught up with the times. Okay, now a lot of us that are in that baby boom, what I call the 45 plus crowd, you know, we don't want to change. Cause, you know, we still wear the same, you know, pleated pants with the cuffs and the tassel shoes at the trade show, and our big bellies are hanging over our belt. Got to, you know, you go to a trade show, all these people look the same. Again, I'm talking guys. I'm not talking ladies. It's mostly guys I see. Okay, hey, do something different. Get rid of that belly. Start exercising. Okay, let's get a different haircut. Let's upgrade your wardrobe. All right, have a good attitude. Be resilient in all things. Don't let anything bother you. The subtle art of not giving a flip. Okay, there's a book, and it's obviously a different word. I changed that because it's family-friendly audience. All right, so you got it? So again, this episode, this is season 4, episode 6 of the Platinum Business Break podcast. The Way Business Should Be, part 13, fulfilling and energizing work. You know, you should enjoy your job. You may not love it, you got to enjoy it. All right, that's all I'm saying. So again, if you're a business leader, if you're a business owner, C-suite, we can help you. If you are an employee, if you are a team member, you got to look in the mirror. Are you getting everything you want? But here's the one thing. You do owe your company. If you're taking a paycheck, you got to give them 100%. You got to do your job. Be professional. Hey, believe me, it'll pay off. Anyway, this was kind of a deep topic because a lot of people, they you know, we talk about this, but we don't do anything. So really the question I have is, where do you start from here? If you're, and again, I'm talking to the employee right now. If you're a team member, if you're employed by somebody, if you're the worker, you have to make a decision what you're going to do. It's your career. It's your life. Okay? Start making those changes today. Again, if you're a business and you want to create an environment that people just would love to come to work, we can help you with that. Again, it's Platinum Business Consulting. And again, it's PlatinumBusinessConsulting.com. I'll have links below. So again, that's all I'm trying to say is let's enjoy our job. Because you know what? If everyone enjoys their job and gets some you know joy out of it, and it's fulfilling and it's energizing, it's not that daily beatdown. Man, think of how great business could be. Think of what our customers would see. And you've been there. You've been in businesses where everything runs right. Employees are happy. You know, like Chick-fil-A. People don't like Chick-fil-A, and I wear this one out. Chick-fil-A, everyone's got a smile on their face. Food's right. Drive-thru moves quick. They have processes down. They have leadership. They have culture. They have core values. And they're enjoying their job. You could tell when someone's enjoying their job just as easy as someone who's not enjoying their job. All right, that's it. That's all we got. We look forward to seeing you in the next podcast. Take care. See you next time. Bye.